Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com.
Hello, I have a great guest today, Cheryl Adkins-Green, who is Global Vice President of Brand Development for the iconic cosmetics brand Mary Kay, Inc. Now, before I tell you about Cheryl, I think it's important to note that Mary Kay has stood out as an organization that's actually grown and thrived in the recent economic downturn. And in fact, in 2009, Mary Kay increased its sales force by 22%. It now has over 2 million people selling its products around the world. So that's really exciting. And Cheryl herself is equally impressive, as she was named as one of the 75 most powerful women in business by Black Enterprise magazine in 2010. And at Mary Kay, she leads the company's global product strategy, including product positioning, packaging, product education, and pricing. And she recently shared with me about the strides her organization has made in developing the Mary Kay brand in regions outside of the U.S., as well as some of the challenges they continue to face. And so I wanted to share her perspectives with you today. So Cheryl, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Great. I am going to launch right into my questions. And actually, I thought it would be helpful if you could, since you're working on global brand development for Mary Kay, I'm not sure if everyone knows exactly what that means. So if you could tell us a little bit about, you know, what you're working on and maybe some of the challenges as well as the successes that you've experienced.
Oh, I'd be happy to. My primary focus in developing the brand is on the product portfolio. Mary Kay is available in more than 35 countries around the world. So you can imagine there are a wide variety of products that women enjoy and use every day. But in addition to the focus on the product portfolio, the Mary Kay brand development really is a collaborative effort because it is not only the product aspect of the brand, but also the marketing communications, but most importantly, the independent sales force. Each individual independent sales force member truly is the face of the Mary Kay brand. So as I think about the development of the brand globally, it truly is a collaborative effort with my partners in the sales function, the regional marketing teams, as well as our corporate communications area.
Wow, that's a lot of different stakeholder groups that you're working with then.
Definitely.
And so maybe could you talk a little bit about, you know, how maybe a specific success or something that you've worked on rather well with this group of stakeholders lately?
Certainly. What I'd like to start off with, though, is the importance of the Mary Kay value system. Mm-hmm. The business was founded on the principle of golden rule service, and the mission of the company is to enrich the lives of women around the world. And it's really, I think, these two principles that help bring together the different resources and keep us aligned, if you will, on our story, our message about the Mary Kay brand. So again, we are very focused on conveying and communicating the unique opportunity that Mary Kay offers to women around the world. And with that opportunity, the importance of giving back to the community, to helping others, which is also a key part of the company's legacy. So as we are looking at ways to expand the business and introduce the Mary Kay brand around the world, we really do focus on these core values, which we have found to really resonate around the world. Actually, last year in 2009, we completed a comprehensive piece of research with over 2,500 women around the world, and the working title was What Women Want. And it was very exciting and reaffirming to learn that what women want around the world is actually quite consistent. The notion of financial security in the form of personal income is very important. certainly family, the notion of sisterhood. And then as it relates to cosmetics, pampering is a universal need and desire among women around the world. And it's really a consistent focus on some of these common themes that enables myself and my colleagues within Mary Kay to put together a very, I think, comprehensive message that does resonate around the world.
Wow. I can only imagine with, so many ways of interpreting the brand, it's great to see that there's actually that consistency of needs and desires across the world. I think that actually helps to maybe reduce some of the variability, right?
Exactly. It's a very powerful concept, and it's certainly not to say that within local markets that it's we definitely need to rely on country and regional marketing teams to translate that message in a way that's most relevant in their local communities. But again, our compass, if you will, always keeps us aligned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. So actually, maybe I'll ask you about that a little bit. You know, you talked about some of the values and the history of the company, and you know, my impression is that a critical driver of the Mary Kay brand strength here in the U.S. is because Mary Kay's personal story as a successful entrepreneur is kind of like the quintessential story of the modern American woman, and I wonder if that part of the equation translates into different cultures or how that might manifest itself differently to be more relevant to different cultures.
Actually, it does. That aspect of the Mary Kay brand does extend well throughout the world. In part, although the United States is most familiar with the Mary Kay story, her success really is known worldwide, due in part to some of her writings, her best-selling book about her philosophies on leadership and on people. So the Mary Kay story actually is very well known throughout the world, and most important, it's a story that women relate to because it was a real woman, a real mom, who truly did want to have the opportunity not only to do her best, but also to be recognized for her accomplishments. And recognition is also a very important aspect of the Mary Kay brand. So, again, coming back to some of those core values and needs that women in particular have, that need to be recognized and to be able to have their successes celebrated, really does translate, you know, across borders and multiple languages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing that stands out to me about Mary Kay is that you do all of your manufacturing. In fact, you do most of it here in Texas.
We have a large manufacturing facility here in Dallas, Texas, but we also have a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility in China.
Oh, okay. All right. So, are there challenges or issues with brand product consistency, I guess, as it relates to brand consistency, as you kind of work with your different manufacturing plants, and maybe I'm also just curious about, you know, ingredient sourcing and all of the kind of issues that an organization faces when they're trying to, you know, develop a brand and a product line or multiple product lines, actually, in all corners of the globe, really.
Well, one of the most important things in the success of our products is our commitment to quality. So behind the pink tubes and the pink bottles is a very rigid and structured and disciplined supply chain organization and set of processes. So in terms of production standards, the quality, the extensive testing of the ingredients, that is certainly job one and very consistent across our manufacturing or with any other contract manufacturers that might be involved in the production of our products. one of the things that I am responsible for is making sure that as we are developing concepts and testing products, that we have a broad cross-section of feedback from women around the world. So one of the challenges is on a quick timetable to make sure that we are getting the feedback from women on the different formulas. In some markets, there are some different preferences in terms of product consistency that we have to take into account. We also have to make sure that the vocabulary that we use enables us to understand exactly what people are referring to, because what might be viewed as light or thin in one market could be perceived as runny in another market. So we also are working hard to make sure that we're calibrating some of the language that we use to make sure that we are identifying those aesthetic qualities that are most important to optimize, to make sure that the products indeed, if not meet definite, or I should say exceed expectations around the world.
Right, right. Now, I guess one of the advantages that you have is that you have this great sales force that I would think probably operates kind of as one huge focus group for you to actually get feedback from, right?
We are certainly very fortunate that our independent sales force is very passionate about our products, and they have been a terrific source of feedback on our products. We do have the benefit of being able to hear back from them basically real time, so we do know what products are selling well. We're getting their input on product opportunities that exist for the portfolio, and certainly as it relates to whether it's fragrance testing, even naming concepts, we are able to tap into the power of that independent sales force, because, again, being more than 2 million strong, who better to really know what women want in regards to beauty?
Right, because in many cases, they are your customers as much as they are
exactly.
your sales force, right?
Exactly.
Right. Now, at the same time, I wonder if that creates some challenges in the sense that, you know, because they have, you know, so much knowledge and, you know, they're out with their own customers and they're out in the marketplace all the time. At the same time, I imagine that from a corporate standpoint, there's, you know, a certain direction or certain avenues that you want to drive the company in. And I wonder if there's ever conflict, or conflict's probably too strong a word, but a difference of opinion on, you know, whether this direction is really the right direction for Mary Kay, if it's consistent with the brand, if it's, you know, if we're really upholding our brand values. Does that ever happen?
I would probably describe the conversation less so around values, because having such a strong culture, I feel that we are very much aligned as it might relate to brand values and image. Certainly with personal preferences, we might get some request for, you know, a specific shade of lipstick, or, you know, perhaps is it possible to bring back a product that was sold many years ago. So one of the things that we do is we look for opportunities via our limited editions to sometimes perhaps test an idea and see what the response is, or to experiment a little bit with maybe a more novel concept. So a limited edition might be a product that we just bring to market for perhaps just a couple of months. It's a limited supply for as long that it lasts. And that's one of the ways that we're able to quickly validate opportunities for some of those items that might be a little less familiar, if you will, to the mm-hmm. sales force. Mm-hmm. One of the things, though, that's very important is to make sure that we are on trend. So that's one of the things that we want to make sure that the independent sales force can provide to their customer base. So we definitely use our limited edition programs in that way. Mm-hmm. Another great thing about some of those promotional programs is that because our sales force is very dynamic, you mentioned before that the sales force is growing. In the United States, the majority of the growth that we've seen in our sales force recently has been in a younger demographic, that demographic being in the 22 to 35-year-old age group. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that's most important is to Certainly make sure that we continue to provide some of the top-selling favorites that the sales force and their customers have loved for years, but to always make sure that we're refreshing the brand with some newer offerings that are going to attract and build loyalty among this next generation of Mary Kay consumers. So certainly my job involves balancing those things, but that's also the most fun aspect of my job.
Right. Good. Well, and so maybe for my last question, I'll kind of circle back to something that we started talking about at the beginning was, you know, that you are working with a variety of groups within Mary Kay, and I'm curious if you have any advice for anyone else who might be in a role similar to yours where you are really kind of coordinating and leading the efforts of multiple groups around the world. Lessons learned, or any advice that you might have about how to drive forward to success while enrolling everyone else in that journey with you?
I think one of the most important aspects is something I'm sure we've all read about, and that's the mastery of collaborative leadership. And so for many of us, I think we were perhaps groomed and began our careers in an era where, you know, leadership was really about, I'll say, a little bit more the individual's ability to convince others to follow their way, their idea, their opinion. This notion of collaborative leadership is certainly much more about partnership, about sharing, less about, you know, your name and getting the credit, and totally focused on impact in the marketplace. Certainly, because Mary Kay is so focused on giving to others, it's very easy to come to meetings and be focused on what's going to most benefit the sales force, what's most going to benefit women that they are helping in their communities. So that's a unifying principle. But beyond that, I think that ability to think about the end game, if you will, and less about the personal perspective that you bring, and to really look at your initiative, your goal, your program through the eyes of your ultimate customer. I think so many times there can be difficulties in collaboration because people are looking at an initiative within the four walls of a conference room and not necessarily looking at the cohesive in product that the customer needs to see and needs to experience. And when you look at your business, you look at your offering through the eyes of that customer, that consumer, that's when you are really able to see how and when to best integrate the respective viewpoints of all those experts, you know, inside of that conference room. So many times, I'm sure as marketers, we've seen programs and they look a little bit of like story of the blind men building the elephant. They look a little bit patchwork,
right.
Because each person had to have their say. But again, when you really look at your end goal through the eyes of the consumer, that's when you're able to see the end product in that holistic way. And if you start with that end in mind, it becomes a lot easier to collaborate.
Right. Well, that is great advice, and I appreciate you sharing that with me. You know, you have been just so great in providing wise counsel and support to me ever since I met you, so thank you for that last gem as well. And for my listeners, I hope that you enjoyed hearing from Cheryl. Now that you've gotten a little bit of an inside scoop on Mary Kay, I encourage you to check out their website. It's marykay.com. They also have a Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com/Mary Kay. Cheryl, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, and always fun talking to you, Denise. Thanks so much.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care, and thanks again.